God is alive and well. God is working, and it is fabulous to see how God is using them and how God put them in the right place at the right time. This has been a morning of memories. A morning of memories as people have come up here and made vows before the Lord. This is a memory in the making. Morning of memories as we have celebrated what Jesus Christ has done for us. And it continues because the concept of remembering is vital in terms of our faith, in terms of our relationship with God. Remembering the past. People in our society think that anything beyond 3 months is ancient history. And that we forget the past and we simply look at the present and move to the future. That we live completely in the present. They make a big mistake. Because remembering the past is important from two perspectives. It's different. It's important from the perspective that it helps us to repeat the positive. There are things in the past that we can look to. There's a memory in the making, a spiritual experience that we just saw. God was in control. There were no accidents. There was not something coincidental about this. God was obviously involved. And when you get into difficult and hard times, this is something that moves you towards confidence, but only if you remember it. If you pass it off and leave it in the past as though nothing ever happened, you lose the benefit of what God has done. The other thing that remembering the past does is, I'm sure you've never done stupid things, but I have. I'm sure you have never not listened to the voice of God and paid the consequence, but I have. And it helps us to avoid the foolishness of the past. It helps us to avoid that saying that those who forget the past are doomed to repeat it. The past is valuable, and it's a scriptural, spiritual concept, but only if we build our own photo album. This photo album has helped me, because as I have gone through it, I have seen so many experiences that would have been forgotten had I not had it. If it had been up to me, I would have none of this because I am the world's worst photo taker. Not the world's worst photographer, just the guy that never pulls it out of my pocket and takes a picture when it is so easy. I just don't do it. Thank God I've got kids that are photographers and love to take pictures, and thank God I've got a daughter that loves to put it together and does it really, really well. Because I go through and I see things that happened in the last 12 months that I had completely forgotten. And I look back and I say, man, that was so fantastic. That was so incredible. That was such a good time. And immediately when I do that, a whole wealth of things come back into my mind and into my heart that make me thankful for the family I've got and the people that God has given Barbara and me. It's very important, this concept of remembering, of looking to the past, not of living in the glory days of the past, that's not it at all, but remembering God's faithfulness in the past so that we can have that as confidence in the present and in the future. Now, there are seven things. This is going to be the world's shortest study. I heard that, amen. We've got about 7 minutes to go over 7 points. Okay? But you know what? That's okay, because the message has already been preached. The message has already been preached. It's been preached at a table. It's been preached through a young family standing up and giving their hearts and their child to the Lord. It's been preached by a young couple who stands up and says, God is alive and well, and He is working in our lives. It has been preached. So here we go. I want to give you the point of the message. I want to give you the conclusion before we start, because we're going to get lost in the details otherwise. We're going to just list them. Okay, here's the point. God has given you a spiritual album. He has given you a whole raft of spiritual events in your life that you have probably forgotten, much as I forgot many of the events in this photo album. It is worth it to comb your past and see where God has worked, so that in the present, when you begin to question where is God and what is God doing, you remember God's benefits. You remember God's actions in your life and say, God has been faithful in the past. He will be faithful in the present. As God is building my experiences today, so he will in the future. Okay? That's the bottom line. Now we're going to work for it and say, what kind of remembrances God would have us remember? Because if you all you have to do is do a search in the scripture of remembering or not forgetting, do not forget, and you find it's just rampant through scripture what God talks about. Okay. Number one, remembering God's rest allows you to recognize God's control. God says to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 5, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Listen to the strange connection. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. By the way, the last two pages of the notes are the scriptures that we're talking about, if you want to follow along. Okay. What is the connection with them being slaves in Egypt with commemorating the Sabbath? There must be a connection there somewhere. Here's what it is. Quick bullet point. When they were slaves, who was in control of their lives? Well, we say in the distance, God was, but in the present, in the near term, it was the Egyptians. The Egyptians told them when to get up, when to go to bed. The Egyptians told, how many days off do you think they got when they were slaves? They didn't get any days off. And their life was always lived for the benefit of someone else. It was always lived for the overlords. It was not lived for their own benefit. So they were not on a directional life, they were on a treadmill. And God says, you're no longer slaves. Enter into my rest. Celebrate the Sabbath. And so suddenly you have this opportunity where people recognize that it's not the Egyptians that are in control, it's God. It's God. Do you know how important it is to recognize God's control in your life? Do you know how important it is for a couple traveling through North Platte, Nebraska, to recognize that God is not the God of coincidence, but God is the God of direction and putting things together? When your life is falling apart, do you know how important it is to recognize that there is a God, and instead of wrestling and struggling to find your identity, you recognize your identity is in Jesus Christ? Remembering God's rest allows you to recognize God's control. Secondly, remembering God's warning allows you to recognize God's blessing in his commands, which avoid devastating pitfalls. God says in Deuteronomy 8, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on an oath to your ancestors. Remember the Lord your God, how he led you in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. Background, children of Israel approach the promised land. They have been in the wilderness not a very long time, and they send 12 spies into the land. There's a majority report and a minority report. The minority report says, we can't possibly conquer the promised land. It's out of our control. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. The minority report says, God's with us, we can do this. But they listened to the majority, not the minority. And God said, into the wilderness you go. For 40 years, into the wilderness you go to test your hearts, so that you can see how God provides for hundreds of thousands of people in the wilderness, a place where nobody ought to be able to survive, and yet you're going to survive. Those who are present in this time are going to die, but the nation will survive. It's a blessing to follow God's commands. Those of us who live only in the present look at these choices that stand in front of us and we think, it's not that big a deal if I follow or not. It's not that big a deal if I listen to God or not. I'll just do what I want and then ask God for forgiveness. It's imperative that we remember God's warnings. That life is serious. God is a God of grace, but God is not a God that is absent of consequence. It's important to listen to God's warning. The third in our checklist is remembering God's provision. It allows us to trust in God's wisdom instead of giving up in despair. You know those times when we come up against and everything seems to be going wrong and we think about bailing out. God says in Deuteronomy 8, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms your covenant. If you ever forget the Lord and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify to you today that you will surely be destroyed." Don't set out on your own path, on your own desires, on your own strength and wisdom. Remembering God's provision allows you to trust in God and wisdom instead of giving up in despair. How many people do we know, and perhaps some of you? I talked to a friend just in the last week that I had lost touch with. For 20 years he walked away from God. For 20 years he walked away from God. It's a great story of redemption because he remembered God's provision. He remembered God's provision and for the last two decades has been following hard after God with all of his heart. But those 20 years, how many people do we know that have stepped away from God because they just gave up? They couldn't trust in God's provision. They couldn't trust in God's ability to deliver. They didn't recognize how God had worked in the past. Another page in your album is remembering God's priorities, and it helps you to recognize God's perspective instead of being caught between worlds. God's priorities. I love this verse because it says, "It'll be just like on the day, Luke 17, when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the mountaintop with possessions inside should go into the town to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything." Remember Lot's wife. That's a great statement. Because a lot of us like to hold on to two worlds. If you don't know who Lot is a fellow who lived in the worst of the worst cities. He lived in a city that became synonymous with evil, the city of Sodom. Angels were sent to rescue him, and as they're going out of the city, Lot is going along, and it says his wife looked back. Literally what it means is she lingered behind a little too far and got caught in the conflagration. Why did she linger behind? She lingered behind because she loved what Sodom represented. She loved her friends. She loved the priorities. She loved the social life. Whatever it was, she lingered behind, and she thought that she could hold on to two worlds. She thought that she could follow God with all of her heart, quote unquote, but she thought that she could also hold on to the world. And people who try to hold on to two worlds wind up losing everything. You remember what Jesus said? He said, "You can't serve God and money. You can substitute whatever you want for that money phrase." Everything that God has given us is meant to be complementary to us following God. It's not meant to be in competition. She lost it all. We look back at those elements in our lives, those times in our lives when we've tried to hold on and lost it. Or we look back in our lives and see those times when our lives have been changed because we stepped in faith into God's priorities and our lives were changed forever. Just like my friend talks about, story of redemption and how God worked by following those priorities. Remembering God's timing allows us to wait for direction and move in his command. Deuteronomy chapter 16, "Don't eat it with bread made with yeast, but 7 days eat unleavened bread of affliction because you left Egypt in haste." I want you to be reminded. I want you to have a picture, much like our picture of the communion. Don't eat leavened bread. Why? Because you don't have time for the yeast to raise. I want you to think a minute for God's timing. Do you know how long Israel had been in Egypt? 430 years when God didn't say leave. 430 years, and a lot of that time they were slaves living under oppression. If they had tried to leave before God's timing, it would have been disastrous. But when God said leave, you know what he said? He said, "Leave now." There's a song that we sing that we say, "If he says go, I will go. If he says stay, I will stay." It's a great song because it says we wait for the Lord. We don't try to run ahead and we don't try to linger behind. You know why that's such a good word? It's such a good word to a couple in our congregation who want to be in Tanzania in 2 weeks. You know what? God can absolutely do that. You believe he can do that? I believe he can do that. Do you believe he has to do that? No, he doesn't, because God's timing is not our timing. And what we do when we recognize that reality, and when Omega and Julie recognize that reality, is there disappointment about not making a schedule? Yes. Is there panic? No. No, there's not. Is it a lack of faith? No, it's petulance for us to demand that God has to do this or that. It's childishness. But it's a fact of mature faith when we place ourselves in the hands of God, seeing how God has worked. Seeing God's timing in North Platte, Nebraska, gives us the encouragement to say God's timing will be perfect here as well. Great confidence builder when we look what has happened and apply that to our present circumstances. Remembering God's grace, Jesus said, as many times as you eat of this cup or drink of this, you remember me until I come again. You remember my death. What is the point about the death of Christ? The point of the death of Christ is when you open up your album, what you see is the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the first picture you see. And finally, Paul in 2 Timothy says, he just says simply, remember Jesus Christ. And so here, as we've been romping through this study, your head is probably spinning. You've had an opportunity to write some things down if you've wanted to of the things that are up there, but here's my point. You have a photo album of faith. You have an album that is written in flesh and blood. You can go back over your lives. The problem is we don't, do we? Things happen to us and we forget them. So here's your homework. Now, when I say homework, I really mean it. You can actually do something after a sermon on Sunday, and it can actually be beneficial. I would like for you to go home and just walk back through the garden of your life and find an event, find a period, find a circumstance in which God really moved. It may be positive. It may be God coming through in the moment. It may be how God taught you something in the deepest of despair. But somewhere or another, God taught you a lesson that would be valuable for you to remember. And I'd like you to write that down, just a paragraph. You don't have to write a novel. But I'd like you to write that down and to say, this is how my faith was changed. This is how my faith was built. And here's the thing. On Wednesday night, our last summer special, we're going to have an opportunity just to share some things around. Wouldn't it be wonderful? And some of you say, I could never say this in front of a crowd, but maybe you can say it to someone at your table. Let me ask you a question. When Josh and Amy stood up here today, were you blessed? I was. My heart was really blessed by seeing what went on today. A couple standing up saying, our child belongs to God. Were you blessed when Julie and Omega stood up here and Omega told that story of how God moved in his heart? That's a church service in itself. I mean, it's just marvelous to think. Do you know that you could be that in somebody else's life? Somebody here may have seen those things and say, you know what? My child does belong to God. Somebody may have seen that and said, you know, God does work through what seems to be coincidence but really isn't, because there's just too much there. God is at work. You can be that in somebody else's life. You can be the one who connects with somebody else and moves them to love and good works and to deeper faith through the story that you need to tell, and share. We can be great storytellers, and we just need to recognize that the story's already been written. We just have to record what God's already done. And when you share that, it's like somebody sitting down and seeing that album on your coffee table and saying, oh, let me look at that. Oh, what great pictures. Tell me about this. Tell me about that. That can be you. That can be us. So do this before Wednesday and come and share the blessing. What a great evening that would be. Just to casually around the table give some meaning to our fellowship. Give some emphasis, some spiritual input to our connections with one another. I challenge you. Take up the challenge. It's been a morning of remembrances. I hope that God will challenge us all to remember. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what we've seen this morning lived out in life. We thank you, Lord, for the picture that we've had of Jesus' death and resurrection for us, his sacrifice that has changed us. Lord, we pray that our lives will be touched and that our lives will be used in the lives of others. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the album. When we said it before, we'll say it again. You open it up and you find the cross of Jesus Christ. You open it up and you find the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You open it up and you find the pictures that God has given us. It says, remember and do not forget. And you open it up, and if you know Jesus Christ, there's your picture. There's your picture, because as many as received him, to them he became the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. If you have not done that today, this can be the morning that that journey begins. This can be the start of your spiritual album that God uses to write on your life the power of God, the power of Jesus Christ, and his resurrection. God bless you and give you a great day in the Lord. Don't forget our benevolence offering as you go. And have a great day in the Lord. You're dismissed.